from the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Well, it's a special edition of Abandoned Manitoba today. With a birthday theme. Maybe we should have played Happy Birthday at the beginning of that segment instead. Gordon Goldsborough is here to tell us more. Morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
I said that, you know, next year, 2020, Manitoba is going to be marking its 150th birthday. And the provincial government is seeking suggestions from Manitobans on how that birthday can be celebrated. And I thought it might be an appropriate thing to actually look back, to look at what was done, say, when the province turned 100 years old in 1970, as kind of a clue to what we might do next year.
And it's good to have a head start on this, actually, because I imagine, you know, plans are already kind of being looked at for how to celebrate next year. So
yeah, and in fact, we don't know all the full scope of things. So I thought just by articulating some of the things we've done in the past, yeah, it might be a useful, you know, inspiration to people to, you know, do things next year.
Okay, so how did Manitoba celebrate its major anniversaries in the past?
Well, I thought we'd go back actually a little bit further than the 1971. We go back to 1920 when Manitoba was 50 years old. One of the noteworthy things that year was they had the formal official opening ceremony for the newly constructed legislative building. Of course, today we, you know, we think of this building has always been here, but it's in fact it's celebrating its 100th birthday next year in 2020. But for 1970, there were two milestones close together. The Manitoba one, of course, in 1970, close to Canada's 100th birthday, which of course took place in 1967. So to mark this, the provincial government, which at the time was led by Duff Roblin, who was always known for being a long-term visionary to take, you know, the view that you should plan for the future. Well, you know, for example, he built the Red River Floodway that has protected the city from devastating floods numerous times. Well, he, I thought, had a visionary idea, which was to create in 1963, fully 4 years before the Canadian centennial versus 7 years before the Manitoba centennial, they established something called the Manitoba Centennial Corporation.
Okay, so what's the Manitoba Centennial Corporation?
It was a crown corporation, and it was established basically to plan for these two centenary events. And it was overseen by a board of 15 people, and the chairman was a fellow named Maitland Steinkopf. He was a local lawyer, and apparently, by all accounts, he was just driven to organize all kinds of activities for the 100th anniversary. But they also had a group of over 200 people all over the province that helped to organize things. Now, unfortunately, all the people that were on this original board of the Manitoba Centennial Corporation are now deceased, but fortunately, very detailed records of their activities survive over at the Provincial Archives and at the Provincial Legislative Library. So I had the opportunity recently to dig through those records, and wow, was I impressed.
Okay, what do they do for their 100th birthday for Manitoba?
You know, there were so many things that we could just go on and on and on, far more than we could articulate in a short segment. So, well, why don't you suggest some categories, and I'll tell you what they did in those categories.
Okay, so first thing that comes to mind, events, parties, celebrations, performances.
Yeah, and they did lots of those things. I mean, there's a whole long list in these provincial archive records, but I'll just give you a little taste. So they had performances of things called like the U.S. Army Field Band and Soldiers Chorus. I never knew there was such a thing, but there was. Guy Lombardo and his orchestra performed in Manitoba. The RCMP Band and Musical Ride. But in addition to that, they had fishing derbies, car rallies. They had cruises on the Red River in commemoration of the 100th anniversary. They had beauty pageants, an air show. Well, and in fact, listeners probably recall that some time ago we talked about this centennial song. Mm-hmm. They actually had a contest to write a centennial song, and the winners came from Portage la Prairie. They recorded three versions of that song, but it turned out something I learned was there was another centennial song for Manitoba. So Bobby Jimby, who wrote a centennial song for Canada, also wrote one for Manitoba called Manitoba 100. They released a 45 RPM record with two versions of this song by Bobby Jimby. One was sort of a choral version sung by a choir, and the second was sort of a rock and roll version by a group called Sugar and Spice. It was a five-man band with three sisters as vocalists, the Murphy sisters, singing it. So, I mean, there are probably people out there have recordings of that Manitoba provincial song. So they did all kinds of festivities for the commemoration.
a real sense of engaging the community in so many different ways.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a big party. You know, that's what it was, from beginning to end. Yeah.
So how else did they celebrate?
Well, there were all kinds of commemorative swag. So, for instance, there was a souvenir license plate. You could purchase a special license plate for your car, the proceeds of which went to help fund some of these activities for the year. But in addition to the license plates, they had commemorative pins. Thousands of them were handed out. Coins, medallions, flags. Well, the Canadian Mint released a special commemorative centennial dollar coin. And the post office issued a centennial stamp as well. So all kinds of sort of commemorative items that you could, you know, remember years later.
Were there ways in which they honored certain kind of prominent Manitobans as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So any Manitoban over the age of 75 was inducted into something called the Order of the Crocus. And of course, crocus being a symbol of Manitoba. But in addition to that, anyone who was born in the year 1970, what they called the centennial babies, any one of the centennial babies, they had a special seal affixed to their birth certificate that identified them as a centennial baby. But in addition to that, any baby born on one of six special days through the year, so the 1st of January, the 31st of December, the 15th of July, which is Manitoba Day, sort of the day that they thought of as being the day that they would celebrate things, a couple of other ones, any baby born on one of these days was then going to become a director in a company called the Foundation of the Future. And the idea was that 30 years later, these babies, who are now, of course, would be 30-year-old adults, would meet, and they had invested money the year of the centennial in 1970. 30 years later, they were going to meet the directors of this Foundation of the Future and decide how to spend the money, you know, spend it in some beneficial way. So they met. They apparently had 305 centennial babies. They lost track of quite a few of them, so they weren't able to find them all, but they managed to get over 100 of them to come to a meeting that was chaired by the provincial premier. At that time, it was Gary Filmon, and they had $49,000 to spend. You know, some nice little sort of reminder, you know, 30 years later. The Manitoba Historical Society had a centennial medal that they gave to people who had done, you know, noteworthy work in their community. Almost 500 people around the province got these centennial medals. So all kinds of ways of, you know, saying to people, you know, we really appreciate the things you've done.
I love that centennial babies story. I never knew about that. What about tours of the province and visits during that time?
They had five semi-trailers that traveled around the province. They called it the Centennial Caravan. It was basically an exhibit, and it went to various communities around the province, and you could tour inside these trailers. They had a canoe brigade, basically, you know, commemorating our fur trade heritage, and they paddled through Winnipeg on their way east. They had student exchanges. Students from Manitoba would go somewhere else. Students from somewhere else would come here. So they had all kinds of things like that. A bunch of railway enthusiasts restored a vintage steam locomotive, and its first voyage occurred on Canada Day, 1970. It took Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau and his cabinet to a visit to Lower Fort Garry. And of course, today, that's the Prairie Dog Central. So it began in the centennial year. But probably the most noteworthy visit in 1970 was the royal visit by Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip. The longest royal visit to Manitoba in history. They visited numerous towns around the province. They toured all kinds of facilities. Well, during her visit, for example, the Winter Fair in Brandon that happens annually got the moniker the Royal Winter Fair because of her patronage. A statue of Her Majesty, crafted by the local sculptor Leo Mall, was unveiled in front of this Centennial Concert Hall. It's been later moved to the grounds of Government House. So all kinds of visits happened in 1970.
And how about books?
The Manitoba Historical Society published two books. One was a history of the province by historian James Jackson. And in fact, it's still considered one of the definitive histories of Manitoba, although it is getting a little long in the tooth. It's now 50 years old. The other was a limited edition collection of historical maps. And both of these books are actually still available through antiquarian bookstores if you're interested. The one of maps is wonderful. I love looking at old maps. The Centennial Corporation also supported financially the writing of at least five local history books. And many other communities around Manitoba took the opportunity to say, hey, we're going to document the history of our community with a local history book. So looking at all the history books that are out there, and I go through piles of them, there are so many that say this was done as a centennial project. You know, what it says, of course, is they were proud of the community. But I think what it illustrates to me is wow, there's lots of room for update, because that was 50 years ago. And communities maybe should think about, you know, coming back and writing their history for the 2020 anniversary.
Well, I think there's so much to talk about here, and I'd quite like to pick that up and continue this conversation next week. How does that sound?
Absolutely. Lots more to talk about.
Great. Thank you, Gordon.
We'll see you next week.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.